Local. Marketing for small business. Episode 93.
There's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing, Act Local will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. Each week, Kaylin features a new tip you can use today, as well as a range of guest experts who are passionate about helping local business owners thrive. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business. This is episode 93, and I am Kaylin Amadio, and I am the creative cowhand here in the Act Local Marketing Corral, and you do not have to miss a single episode of Act Local when you can find the podcast feed at actlocalmarketing.com. That's where I post a new lesson every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen to any of our training sessions directly there on the website, or please subscribe and download on iTunes or Stitcher. Every episode to date, and you can see this is episode 93, right? We are closing in on our 100th episode. Every episode to date is available to help you build a thriving business. So really take advantage. Every week, I bring you a new guest expert to help grow your business, and I always keep a new strategy tucked into my bedroll called Today's Takeaway, where you get at least one action item that you can take away with you today to implement and grow your business. That's just my way of saying thanks, and I'm glad you're here because that's what it's all about here at Act Local Marketing, sharing high-quality inside information you can use to improve your business. I'm speaking with an expert who must be a sister from another mister, because we are discussing podcasting and book writing, two of my favorite things to do in marketing, as part of your marketing effort today. So stay tuned. Now, why would you want to mount the podcasting horse? Here is some info that you might find interesting. Back in January, Forbes contributor Michael Wolff made four predictions about podcasting for 2014. First is what he calls an explosion in creative use of the format. So are you a storyteller? What better way to tell your stories, to entertain and grow an audience than podcasting? It's a great medium for the creatives out there. Second is consolidation. Media firms are starting to recognize the power of the podcast and are consolidating networks and talent. Third is growth in women listeners. That's right, ladies. While it was men that originally listened to early podcasts, now you have discovered the benefits, and it's easier than ever to listen with connected cars and other types of technology. Finally, is the morphing of the word podcast itself. While the word podcast sounds nerdy and technical, the reality is that podcast means talk. Talk radio made the change and distinction, and podcast probably will too. So let's discuss today's takeaway. I promised you an action item that you could take with you now to grow your business, and here it is. Here are some tips for starting a podcast, a list of things to keep in mind if you decide that doing a podcast would be a great marketing tool for your business, or perhaps to talk you into becoming a podcaster. The decision, of course, is yours. I am merely here to help. So what can a podcast do for you? One, it establishes your expertise, what we call in marketing thought leadership. Two, and this is huge, you will make great contacts. Sometimes people that you would never have met otherwise, you can form a relationship with through your podcast. Three, you can promote your business partners, or you could actually take paid sponsorships and create an income stream. And four, you grow your brand, and in turn, of course, it can bring you more business. Podcasting, though it may sound intimidating, like most things in life, it is not rocket science. I'll tell you that it is a good idea to develop a format for your podcast, and it's also an even better idea to practice. You want to get good at it, and you can't get good at anything unless you practice it. The technology is really not all that hard. In fact, there are great resources online like Blog Talk Radio that make podcasting simple and practically technology free. A good microphone, for example, will cost you $100 to $150 on Amazon, like mine. I use Blue, which is a brand name. So my microphone is the Yeti, but Blue has others to choose from. Mine plugs right into my computer, and at the time, maybe 4 years ago, it set me back about $99. So that is today's takeaway. If you have any questions about the lesson today, you know you can send me an email to ask@actlocalmarketing.com. Before I bring on my guest, I ask you to connect with me. Go to actlocalmarketing.com, the website, and follow any of the social media links to me so that I can meet you in the virtual world. And make sure to use the hashtag #ActLocalMarketing to continue any conversations that you've heard here on the channel. Do me a favor and tell your social media followers and your networking buddies about the podcast. It would be fantastic of you to subscribe and leave me a review in iTunes. Those really help me out and get the podcast noticed. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Mary Agnes Antonopoulos is taking the bull by the horn. So stay tuned.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
At iKaylin.com, we believe effective marketing requires knowledge of all the systems and tools available. Good marketing takes planning and strategy. The if you build it, they will come approach only works in Hollywood movies, not in the real world, and absolutely not online. You are a real world business owner, and you need real world business solutions for your marketing. It doesn't have to be difficult or time consuming to work. Our five secrets strategy allows us to see what your business needs to prosper in the here and now, 21st century world of massive communication challenges. At iKaylin.com, we craft custom strategies for every client that are not too big and not too little, but just right for you, your business, and your budget. Visit iKaylin.com/secrets for a free report that shares what the five secrets to marketing online can do for your business.
Welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back. This is Act Local Marketing for Small Business. And as promised, I want to introduce you to today's guest, Mary Agnes Antonopoulos. She is a respected New York City social strategist and branding expert with over 1,000 successful campaigns for clients, including New York Times bestselling authors like J.J. Virgin, author of The Virgin Diet, and Jack Canfield. You know him. He's the guy that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, amongst many other books, plus a long list of entrepreneurs and Fortune 500 corporations. She is the CEO of a respected ghostwriting firm, Rockaway Writer, and Chief Marketing Officer of Viral Integrity. Viral Integrity is a social branding agency focused on using social platforms to actually create content that can be marketed at the end of its social life cycle, after it has been used for audience building, engagement, and brand elevation. In addition to being a highly regarded speaker and leader in social strategy, Mary Agnes is also a podcast producer and consultant. She has graduated hundreds of entrepreneurs from her courses on social marketing and branding, and she speaks at conferences all over the country. Next year, she'll be at South by Southwest, which you'll see online abbreviated as SXSW. And she will also be speaking at the New York Business Expo, which I try and go to every year, and Social Media Week. And you can, of course, visit her website at maryagnes.com, MaryAgnes.com. Mary Agnes, welcome to Act Local Marketing.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. This is a great show you put out every week. Wow.
Thank you. I hope that it's helpful for people. That's, you know, all I can do is hope that it's helping. When I meet someone for the first time, I like to collect an entrepreneurial journey from them, you know, to find out how they ended up doing what it is they're doing, you know, at this point in time in their lives. Can you indulge me and give me the story of you briefly?
That's such a lovely question to start out with. Well, believe it or not, people who know me might be a little shocked. I was a secretary for 22 years. I was, you know, one of those really smart women who falls into a career of service and problem solving. And I was very, very good at it, you know, but over the years, as decades passed, you know, I stopped when I was 41 and literally had this sort of, you know, come to reality moment on a bus. And I thought, I'm 41. Is this really what I want to do with my whole life?
Right.
And in the course of that very long commute home to where I live outside of New York City, I thought, you know, there was only one thing I ever wanted to do, and that was write. And I had all these roadblocks. I couldn't do it because I didn't have a college degree. I couldn't do it because, you know, I didn't have a portfolio of work and all the list of roadblocks that, you know, none of which were true. And I went into work the next day, and I was very successful. I made six figures in that role and probably one of the leaders in administrative assisting. And I quit my job. I gave notice and I left that job. And I got a part-time job closer to home. And I started writing professionally, and within the first 30 days, I had a client. So I just want to say for all the people out there who feel locked in a career, who think they don't have the criteria to do what they love, you know, you probably do, because what you loved is what you're intended to do with your life. So roadblocks will fade to nothing when you move into that realm, in my opinion, and in my experience, at least. And, you know, by the time I had 6 months of doing this, I quit that part-time job, and I've never looked back. I have 8 years of a successful, viable social media agency where I write every single day of my life till I fall over exhausted and happy.
I love that story, and it sounds so similar to what goes on in my head. I've always wanted to be a writer, I guess, and I've done a lot of writing, but it's never been my career necessarily, but that's beginning to change too. You and I talked before the interview a little bit about that, but that is starting to change. So I get you completely. And you know, just as an aside, I noticed that women, we tend to do this to ourselves a lot, and I guess it's just our nature, but we look at the things that we want to do and we say, yeah, but I don't have enough credential for that, or maybe I should have taken that class, or we always the kind of obstacles we seem to find are, I'm not good enough, I'm not ready for that. And I don't know why we do that to ourselves, but we do.
You know, I don't know who, I think Canfield coined the phrase first, Jack Canfield, and then it's been viral since, but it's those limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
They're spoon-fed to us. You know, if you're over 40, you were spoon-fed limiting beliefs as a little girl. Now I think we liberate our daughters. Thank heaven.
Yes, and I have three sons, so I didn't get that opportunity, but I try to lead by example so that they know what kind of women what women should be, right? As they get older. And I'm starting to see not that we're getting off track here, but I'm starting to see evidence of that in, you know, who they date and things of that nature. So it's gratifying in many ways. So anyway, let's talk some marketing. People don't want to hear about my limiting beliefs. Come on, let's empower some people. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to you today because we're going to be talking about books, which, of course, you know, writing, things that I love. And we're going to be talking about podcasting, clearly another thing I love. So tell me, what type of person should even be writing a book? So many people out there, like me, want to be writers, don't necessarily do it. Who should be writing a book into today's day and age?
You know, this is my favorite question because the answer is probably everyone, and it's not for business reasons. You know, the beautiful thing about a book is that it is a legacy work. It outlives us simply because of the way it's maintained, right? It's like a picture, but it's better than a picture because it's three-dimensional. It lends so much depth and so many colors and vibrancy. A book is really a deep 3D snapshot of someone's life, experiences, memories. So, you know, I just want to say, first of all, anybody with a business, at least, you know what, if a book feels overwhelming, do a 20-page ebook on your expertise. It'll elevate your brand. It'll support your audience. And it's a good way for you to gather your thoughts around your topic. The next thing is CEOs, anybody who owns a company, you should have some credentialed work out there, and this is one way to create it. And then the third thing is, you know, really that anybody with a family, anybody, you know, start an ebook around your stories. Because sadly, if those aren't documented, they go with you when you leave this place. You know, think about the person you loved most who's gone now. What would you give to have their stories? I mean, if I could roll back time and videotape my dad and interview him, I always thought I'd have more time, and we always do. So start now. You can do it on your, you know, you can do this on your iPhone. These are simple things to do in today's technology. So having a book, I mean, there's just the list of reasons why is so profound it overwhelms me as somebody who does this for a living.
Right. No, and that's a very good point. When I think back on several of my relatives, you know, ancestors, and the questions my children ask me about, you know, this great grandparent or that great grandparent, and I don't know the answers because I might have heard the story at some time when I was young, but I don't remember them, right? I can't commit it all to memory. And you're right, there's a lot of reasons to write a book. It's not just all about business. So let's talk podcasting a little bit. Why is podcasting the book such a benefit, in your opinion?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody has a good book in them. Like that expression, everybody has one good book in them, is very, very true. But I'll tell you that being in the industry, especially as a ghostwriter, the percent of people who put pen to page who want to write a book is 1%. That means one of every 100 who wish they would write that book that's inside them is only one. Then the percent of those who finish that project, even a 20-page ebook, is again 1%. And the percent who publish that work is again 1%. So I just want to say, like, you shared with me that you finished your book last summer, even in rough draft. And that makes you, and I share this when I speak at writers' conferences, that makes you the 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Wow. I need a calculator to figure out how special I am, but oh my goodness.
Especially in conferences of writers, because, you know, if you're in a conference of writers, a whole room full of writers, you feel very unspecial. You'll spot the one who published with Simon & Schuster and make yourself feel like crap. But the truth is, every person in that room is the unique, special, amazing person who started to write their story. So it's a big deal, you know. The issue with podcasting is, while everybody has a good book in them, not everybody is good at pen to page. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the tenacity to finish their work, even start it sometimes. And not everybody has the time. I think that's the X factor, is people start out and think, I'm a short copywriter, right? I'll probably never write a book. You know, at the fifth page, I feel like, all right, I said everything there is to say, you know. So for some people, it's just a time element. And podcasting, I mean, this is sort of going to be a long answer for people, but, you know, get out your pen because here are the reasons. you know, number one, you build an audience as you go. And I will tell you, the hardest thing about a book comes after it's done. It's launching it, having people want to buy it. Because by the time you finish, a lot of people are done with the project. And now you've got 100 books in your basement. That isn't what I want for anybody.
Right.
Number two is it's recorded. So in addition to having your book printed, you also have your audiobook already created.
Mm.
You know, you can get an intern who can put all that together, believe me. You know, number three is you've got your podcast pieces, and some of those can be bonuses when the book launches. You know, and finally, it's so easy to get it transcribed. So I think I'm jumping ahead. But, you know, this is really huge stuff, you know. So podcasting has benefits that have nothing to do with the book itself. And, you know, definitely something we should always have our eye on is what are we going to do when the project is finished?
Well, and I have to share with you that podcasting, and you're right, I like your story about, I've been in writers' conferences, okay? And you meet people who are further along the path than you, and you think, I'm such a loser, I will never get there, right? And I like knowing that the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, because you start to lose sight of the forest, you know, for the trees that you're standing amongst.
Absolutely.
So that's an important thing. And sometimes I feel the same way with podcasting. I see all the podcasts on iTunes, for example, and I see podcasting growing. But when it really comes down to it, let's say there's 10,000 business podcasts on iTunes. That, you know, that may or may not be an accurate number. But it's probably not that far off, I'm guessing. And yet, out of all the people on Earth, even all the people on Earth who just speak English, that's not a lot of podcasts.
Nope.
So once again, you're in rarefied air.
Well, I'll tell you something about that I teach at conferences too, and this is sort of off topic a little bit, but I think it'll help people. And definitely for you. I mean, first of all, there's a tenacity issue. People will start podcasting and they don't stick with it because it's a lot of work. For you to produce this show every week is at least 5 hours of your time. I know it because we do a podcast every single week for 4 years for one of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is, you know, at any audience where you're standing in front of the speaker, for instance, let's say you have a product to sell, which is a pretty popular way for people to market their books. You're standing in front, there's 100 people. Of all 100, 8 are going to find you amazingly appealing, enough to want to approach you afterward and say, hey, I'd like to know you better. 4 of those 8 are going to buy your product. And that percentage is true room after room after room. It's just the way conversion works.
Mm-hmm.
So you stand in front of those 100 with a podcast, 8 are going to choose you, 4 are going to love you, and the other 92, you are there simply to serve should you have something they need. And those percentages actually should free us. They just free us to do our good work. It doesn't matter if there are 10 million podcasts out there, those 8 still need you. They are your tribe. So you serve them at a deeper level, and if you're not putting your work out there, they go hungry. They don't find their guru. They don't find their person, their teacher, because we are all that unique. So the fact that you do this is amazingly service-oriented.
That's another good point, and that's a good way of looking at it. I've heard other experts say the same thing, that if you're not putting your intellectual property out there, the stuff that can help other people with whatever it is your expertise is,
yes,
then you're depriving them.
You kill your legacy, basically.
Yeah. Interesting. So tell me, what I think you started to hit on it. What other benefits does podcasting have in addition to the fact that you could end up having a book done at the end?
I think I love this. My favorite question. You know, one of the huge things it does is build an audience as you go. And I touched on that, but it's not just that you end up with an audience. It's also that they end up with really useful material, things that will move them forward in their own lives. You know, the next thing is obviously you get your book, but you also get your audiobook. And that is worth its weight in gold. The third thing is for people with time constraints, it'll remove that. It'll just, you know, wipe that off the page, because 5 minutes of speaking is even if you speak slowly, it is one full page of single-spaced content, which is about three pages of a book normally. Now, let's say we're going to edit a page away. So let's just say two pages. That's 5 minutes. So if you do a 30-minute podcast even twice a week, if you do the math, that's 60 minutes, 300. I mean, it's just do the math. Your book is going to be done in a matter of 8 to 10 weeks.
Right.
Yep.
And that's very cool. And some people have a much easier time speaking what's on their mind than writing it down. Writing it down sometimes seems like such a chore. Even putting the pencil, I'm thinking old-fashioned. We don't actually write pen to paper anymore. But even just the concept, you know, of having to put that pen to paper or looking at the blank white screen on your computer, right? And you have to fill it with these black letters. You know, it sometimes really freaks people out.
Oh, Hemingway. I mean, how many great writers would wander their space and their mind and to the brink of insanity? I'm one of them. You know, I'll walk around and I'll feel like I'm doing nothing for 3 days when I have a big project. I'll watch TV, I'll walk around and look at the ceiling, I'll drive myself bonkers, and then I'll sit down and write the whole thing in an hour. Because in the back of your brain, you're ruminating on the subject. But get me talking about it, I could talk it to death in a heartbeat. And most Americans and, you know, Western Europeans are like that. You know, people from the modern, articulate computer age, you know, we all speak ourselves to death. So it's just a fantastic thing to do. And not just our books, you know, grab the stories you know about those people you love and start to talk their stories, because their legacy ends with you if they didn't write it.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a nice project for... You know, that's a nice project for young people to consider who are trying to put legacy projects together.
Yeah.
For getting into college and, you know, things of that nature. You know, why can't it be wrapped around preserving the history of their family or their community or any number of things? How wonderful would that be?
Do you know how this project started for me, the whole podcasting thing? So I started this 7 years ago. I have a Blog Talk Radio show where if you'll look me up, it started 7 years ago. And I stopped it, right, because I moved into doing it for clients, which is much more my comfort zone. But 7 years ago, I started a podcast called Why Write, or Why Write Writing for Non-Writers. So I had the R-I-G-H-T-W-R-I-T-E going all over the place.
Right.
The reason it started for me was I somehow fell on a project NPR did with people whose family members or loved ones were killed in the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And what NPR did, I should try not to cry when I tell the story, I don't tell it very often. What NPR did was put up a sound recording booth in Grand Central Station.
Yes, I kind of remember that, yes.
Yeah. And as people would pass through, they could jump into the sound station and they could record stories about people they've lost. And the legacy aspect of it, it was profoundly life-changing to me. You know, what one story could do. And I have this, he became my friend. I hunted him down since then. Richard P. His last name starts with P. And his love was killed in the towers, Karen. And at the end of that interview for NPR, he said, I don't know if I've done any good in my life, but I'll do enough that I can find you, Karen, I promise.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, like, oh, man, those moments, how we feel about each other, as much as I love a book, those inflections in voice cannot be captured that way. So podcast carries this emotional piece that, you know, I mean, we can hear authenticity from across the room.
Right.
This is a way to capture that.
That's a lovely story. I do remember that project now. I do remember it. Okay, so let's say we've convinced everyone that they need to be using audio, you know, to record their thoughts and getting things down on paper. What happens once the podcast is over? How does that become a book?
Okay, so this is the mechanics of it. And this is an important question because it'll roadblock people. Well, even if I did this, I don't know what to do with it.
Right, the whole, technology right. Sometimes, you know, it's another excuse that people use.
That's right. It is a roadblock. It's legitimate. But you could, first of all, just Google it. Don't let anything be a roadblock any longer. You can learn everything there is to learn on YouTube and Google. You know, it probably in 15 minutes, the core piece of things. So, for instance, this kind of a podcast, right? This is a training exercise for people. So just explore these podcasts and you will find a great, amazing wealth of material. But specifically around podcasts, what we do, take the recordings you have and get them to a transcriptionist. I use a service online called rev.com, and it's, I don't have any financial interest, nothing. They're a dollar a minute. Now, first of all, they're not the best one out there, but they are the easiest. I like easy, but you will have to proof the work they send back to you. They'll send you back printed transcription, and that's what a transcriptionist does. They will take your written word, your spoken word, and they'll transcribe it. There are also technology pieces that will do exactly the same thing. You can buy a Dragon Speak Easy program, for instance, and you can just feed your words in, spoken, and they will spit your words out, typed. So it takes the work out of it. But my favorite thing to do is to go out there and find an actual transcriptionist, because you can find somebody who does this for a living, who's highly educated, who's highly invested in your work. You can make this their project. You can feed it to them as you go. Remember, you don't have to finish the whole book before you turn the project over. This is done in podcasts, which means 30 to 60 minute pieces or shorter. So that person can be transcribing as you go, and you can use those pieces for your blog, for your little mini ebooks, for your free things, as your bonuses as you create the book and invest your audience. Finding one person to take your work and transcribe it is a great thing to do. Believe me, it's usually women. It's not, that industry is 99% women, and I think it's because of how we listen and what our skill sets are. If we're over 40, we all learned to type. So finding that woman, you can find people like that on Elance.com, which I think is now Odesk, actually.
Did they merge? I'm not sure if they might have. They might have merged, yeah.
So I think now it's Odesk, but there's so many. You can go on Craigslist and advertise it for free and have 35 people ask to take your project. So, and you can even negotiate just a flat rate for how, you know what I mean? This is how long it is. How much can you do for this price? So, you know, don't let anything stand in your way, but finding a dedicated transcriptionist to this project, she'll also start to get your voice and your tone. These are fantastic artists, believe it or not, who are, like secretaries, locked in a skill set. So we miss the artistry and the problem solving and the editing. You know, I love rev.com for short pieces where I can go in and edit 5 pages. But if I had 300 pages, I'd lose my mind. I'd have to hire an editor also. So getting a smart transcriptionist, even if it was a little more money, might save you that first blush of editing where we correct all your commas and, you know, make all your sentences complete and the right tense and point of view. So,
right.
Sorry for
and,
the long answer.
You know, that's all right. Considering the name of the show, you know, Act Local, right, marketing
right.
for small business. I like to focus on local business owners and how they can be using pieces of digital marketing, even at the local level, because many of them have been left behind by this whole industry.
In a world of VAs, virtual assistants, where we go overseas even to find our assistants, my husband and I, we own the company together. We hired 3 local women, so that in a pinch, we can all sit at my dining room table and work together. We hired all 3 of them at what it would have cost to hire somebody overseas. Your local people need jobs.
Exactly.
And then as their skill set grew, we're very equitable in my company. We're all shareholders, so everybody's income grew with it.
I really like that idea. And Craigslist is an easy way to do that. Or ask the people that you network with.
I put it on Facebook.
There's another place. Exactly.
Yeah, we'll train, you know, $15 an hour. Who needs a job? Any hours, okay, because mostly they're going to do what my company does on their own. Transcription also. You can get moms who need mommy hours or moms who need to work at night when their kids are sleeping. So this is a favorite thing. And after the transcription is done, you know, there are a few different things you can do. One is don't format it. You can put it up as your own ebook through Amazon with several services they have. One is Lulu. There's three or four different things you can do through Amazon to load your ebook, and none of those want formatting. Just make sure it's clean, double-spaced. You do not want to go to all the expense and time of creating a beautiful formatted work with imagery, because most ebook platforms cannot use that. If you're going to put it out yourself in PDF, then go for it. Make a formatted book with imagery and linkable links. An enhanced ebook is a beautiful thing to do. But if you're going to do an ebook online through Amazon, just don't make yourself crazy. You want a simple, your words are going to carry your message, period.
All right, so keep it simple. This, of course, I warned you before the interview started that this was going to be fascinating to me, because you're talking about two of the things that I love the most to do, right? Podcasting and writing towards creating a book. But I have a couple more questions for you if you can hold on through a quick break. Is that all right?
Definitely.
Good. So you are listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business. We're going to take a very quick break, and then more with my guest today, Mary Agnes Antonopoulos, right after this.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the Internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Once there was a smart baby boomer that loved her business. She knew that to grow it, she would need marketing. So she went for a search on the internet and came across all sorts of social media. She went on all the sites and opened accounts, but after starting profiles on all of them, she began to feel overwhelmed. To do all the marketing experts told her to do was just too big a task. She needed a change. Because she was a smart entrepreneur, she chose two of the popular social media sites to market her business. But after months and months, it didn't seem to make any difference. And she saw other savvy business owners using different sites here and blogging over there. When suddenly, she noticed more clever baby boomers going to iKaylin.com and leaving so happy, she just had to see for herself. iKaylin.com helped her make a marketing plan to grow her business that wasn't too big and wasn't too little. It was just right.
So close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Hey now, you're listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business. I'm Kaylin Amadio, and we are speaking with Mary Agnes Antonopoulos. She is a respected New York City social strategist and branding expert. And one of the things that she does in her organization is she helps people write books and create podcasts and use both together and one to create the other. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. I told you before the break, because these are things that I really like to do, podcasting and writing. So she's been explaining to us how we can speak a book, have it transcribed, you know, record audio or make an intentional podcast where you've formatted, you know, like I do here every week, what we're going to talk about and format it and put it together. You can do it that way too if you want to go to that much trouble. But you can just speak your words and have them transcribed. And then you're going to get the written word back. And Mary Agnes, you told us that if you speak for 5 minutes, that's about 3 pages of single-spaced text that comes back, raw text.
Double-spaced. The rule of thumb I use with my people is, and we can do this on YouTube videos too, right? You can do video, which is even more powerful, and you can have the audio stripped off of the video, and it sounds really involved and scary and technological. I have an online space where you load the video and you click a button and download the audio. Like, it's so easy. So these things are awesome and easy, and a 3 or 4 minute video is a full page of single space type. So when it goes into a book, it's even edited, you're going to get at least 2 pages of your book for every 5 minutes.
Right.
So if you do 60 minutes, you've got 120 pages.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're even doing 15-minute podcasts twice a week, 8 or 10 weeks, the core of your work is done. You know, it's just the tenacity to stick with it, you know, and it's so easy, I promise. Once you just bullet point what you want to teach in your book, you don't even need a huge formal outline. Just start the process, and it's very quick, very quick.
Right. Well, I'm a believer because, you know, I'm into all of this. Now, what we haven't talked about, we've talked about people, like you said, you have an outline or you have your bullet points and you're speaking the things that you want people to know and that you would like to have written down so that you can create a book. But talk to us about the benefits of doing interviews like you and I are doing right now, doing interviews with other people while you podcast.
This is my
to create a book.
This is my favorite question.
And you say that about every question I give you.
This is, you know what, this is one of my favorite topics to teach and to speak on, because this idea that you could stop any stranger that you passed and ask them for their most wonderful moment in life, the most important thing that they know that they want to share with others, and the hardest thing they ever went through, and that alone is a podcast from everybody you ever met. And it's personal and it's intimate and you want to hear it, right? The minute somebody starts to answer those questions and they start to say, well, wow, the toughest thing I ever went through, and we relate as human beings, even if it's completely different, we relate. So what happens when we interview other people like you are now and we turn that into part of our book is, A, we bring in a different tone, a different lilt, a different language almost. You know, people are forever asking me if I'm from Ireland. I get this, like, Irish lilt, but I'm not. Generations ago, my people came from Ireland. I do not have a brogue. but it's part of my, like, individual thumbprint in my voice. So having those different thumbprints in your book makes it more interesting. The other thing is it brings in stories that aren't yours. Again, it adds another flavor to the project. But most importantly is if you're interviewing high experts that have an audience, they become stakeholders in your book and they help you launch it. The hardest part of writing a book has nothing to do with the book itself. It has everything to do with removing your writer's cap, your author cap, if you finish a book, and putting on a chief marketing officer cap. Because if you do not market the work, you end up with this huge legacy project that maybe 100 people read, maybe. If you've printed it, you end up with cases of books in your basement. So I want to say 2 or 3 things. One is, if you've got cases of books in your basement, please go hit a flea market and start giving them away. Because nobody is going to get your work if it's sitting in the basement or the attic or your den. Just start sharing your legacy work. Forget what it costs you. It's the million-dollar project that nobody shared if nobody reads it. Number two is getting high experts and saying, you know, this interview, say it afterward, this interview was so powerful, I would like to put it in my upcoming ebook. Would that be okay with you? Just parts of the interview, and I'll send it to you to review first. But I would love you to let me use this in my book. Now, the first thing is you've got their recorded response. So where you'd normally have to get a formal release, you've got the recorded response. Wow, that'd be great. I'd love you to do that. And it's a shared project then. They are actual stakeholders in your work, because it's not really ego. What it is recognition. Human beings thrive, live, and die just to be recognized that we ever existed at all. And you're providing a platform for them to have that experience. And when you launch that book, do you think I would send it out to my list of people? I would.
Right.
So I advise clients to get people they love that they admire to be on their podcasts, and then to just take a, since this is a business thing, this is a business podcast you do, find people with good lists. Go out and find people who have 40,000 on their mailing list. And you can ask that before you start. Hey, I wonder how many you have on your mailing list because I'd love you to announce the show. There you are. Well, wow, I have a good list. I have 40,000. Do I want Mary's 40,000 to hear that I wrote an ebook? I do. So that's a wonder, and it's good for their brand. If they don't have a book out, they are now a chapter in yours, and you can give them co-author credit. So it's very, very reciprocal. It sounds a little, I can't think of the word, when it's for you, so it's completely myopic, but it isn't. It's really a shared work that elevates everyone's brand.
Right. Those are really good marketing tips. I didn't really know that you were going to get into marketing in the answer to this question, and I like that you did, because I think that people who are not marketers necessarily don't think that way. They don't realize the opportunities that are available. Or I challenge you, actually, when you read books, look at books that are already on your shelf, for example. And look at the blurbs from other authors about those books, saying, oh, yeah, this was the best business book I ever read because blah, 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 right? A lot of those things are written by the author or the author's marketing people for approval by the person who puts their name on the quote. A lot of it is because they're from the same publishing house sometimes. That's really all about marketing. And I'm not saying that it's inauthentic in any way, that they didn't believe that the book is good, because who would want to be quoted on someone else's book if they didn't believe what they said? I mean, that's just so false, and nobody wants to do that. But it's part of the marketing plan of a book to get endorsements for that book. And so that you help one another as a community to help more people, because you are all reaching different people in different places. So when you come together, you know, it takes a village to raise kids, right? Isn't that what Hillary said? Well, it takes a village to do just about anything. So if you want to launch your book and you want other people to hear it, you have to reach outside your own circles. That's all there is to it. Does that make sense?
It does. I don't think anything happens on an island anymore. I think all good works are collaborative now, and it, you know, thanks to the internet. I mean, it's a big thing. And I just wanted to say also, you know, if you don't live on an island, literally, you can probably go throughout, you know, 1 hour circumference from where you live, and you can do these interviews in person. You know, you can literally, like, turn on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, anything that will record to an MP3, and you can record these interviews live and in person. You could even, like, grab a picture with the author, shoot a short video of them. You know, if you're interviewing authors, I'm sorry, I interview authors all the time. But the person you're interviewing, you can get a picture with them, a short video, and you can even get a video testimonial about what your interview was like right there on the spot while it's fresh. You know, having to write reviews for your own book in the voice of someone else, I mean, I've done that, right? I've put out books for clients, and, you know, I've asked Jack Canfield, will you read this and write a review for me? And Jack writes back, Mary, I read the first chapter. It's awesome. Write the review, and I'll tweak it.
Right.
Because he knows me. He read the first chapter. He thinks it's great. Okay, thank you, Jack. And now I have to write something in Jack's voice about a different client's project and make sure it only pertains to the first chapter.
Right, right.
You know, if Jack were in person and I said, hey, what'd you think of that book? I would have gotten all of his own words right there on camera.
Yeah. And then you could transcribe the audio. That's what
exactly
we keep talking about, right?
You transcribe it. And you can put those videos up on Amazon on your Author Central page after you do the project, after you publish.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that. That's a good idea, too. All right, I have one last question for you before I can let you go. And you brought up Amazon, so you're at fault for me wanting to ask you this question. You know, Amazon's the place everybody goes to buy books. What can we say? You know, the traditional bookstores are disappearing, even in huge – I mean, you and I both live right outside of New York City. I mean, huge metropolitan area. No getting around that. bookstores are still in decline. There are fewer and fewer and fewer bookstores that you can actually go in and touch and flip through and smell the paper of real books. Because, everything is on Amazon. People go to Amazon. So, and a lot of these books on Amazon are just electronic versions. They're not paper print versions. So I'm sure, just like Google has algorithms for search engines, right? I'm sure Amazon has some sort of algorithm that helps them know what the rankings of books are. If you haven't looked at the page of a published book on Amazon, whether it's electronic or paper, it'll tell you where it ranks amongst the thousands and thousands of books that Amazon lists. So how can you, from a marketing standpoint, work with Amazon's algorithm to get your book listed? Hopefully even get it into the top 10.
You know, this is such a good question, and I won't say it's my favorite because honestly it isn't, but it is an important question, and here's why. Do we want to rank high on Amazon consistently for a long time? Absolutely. But even if we rank high on Amazon for a weekend, if you hit number one, you are a number one Amazon bestseller. You know, is it legitimate? Is it New York Times? No. But using Amazon's algorithm for us instead of against us is a huge win. So I want to tell everybody how to go top 10. Get a pencil for this one because it's formulaic.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, number one, have your categories chosen well. When you load your book to Amazon, it's going to ask you what category the book falls into. Choose carefully. Do not choose health and wellness and nothing, no subcategories, because, you know, getting out there ahead of the health and wellness experts is going to be really hard, even for a weekend. Do not choose cookbook. You'll never beat, you know, the Contessa. You'll never beat JJ Virgin. You will always fall behind the big players in cookbooks. So make sure you choose subcategories. And you want to hit number one, even in your subcategory, is valid and legitimate and true. Number two, have an army of people who have committed to review your book when it first comes out. Some of those should be real reviewers. Absolutely. People that you've sent the book to who you can say, please review this. But some of them could be people who were part of the podcast, part of the process. Just go out and start asking people to review the book on the day the book is launched. So, I'm sorry, number minus one is set a launch date and be ready to launch the book. Don't just put it on Amazon and wait for it to do well. Set a launch date, let everyone know the date, and have an army of reviewers ready. You want 70 reviews on your book over the course of that weekend. So you want to ask and get yeses from 120 people, because almost half won't do it, even though they said they would. Make sure everyone is ready with a review. Please write your review this weekend. It needs to, you know, this week, it needs to go up this weekend. Because part of the reason they won't do it is they don't know what to say. Number three, make sure you have your emails ready to go out to your list. And that you've written a second set that is ready to go out to your co-author lists. Now, this is a marketing piece, but look, even if you've only got 100 people on your Gmail list, have an email ready to tell them about the book and to invite them to get it, and the link to the Amazon page of the book is on embedded. Do the same for any of your co-authors, but it should be in their voice. So if I was going to ask JJ Virgin or Kelly Richards, you know, I've interviewed them, they're in my book, would you help me? Then I would have it say, hey, I'm in an upcoming book by Mary Agnes Antonopoulos, and I really want you to support this work. So you write it in their voice because they're going to send it to their list. It's called a JV launch email, a joint venture email that goes on the launch day of the book. You want to have three of those at least. One's saying it launches tomorrow. One's saying it's out today. One's saying, hey, we're at number blank. Would you help us hit top 10? So this is extremely specific. Number four, go to authorcentral.com a week or two before the book comes out. But the book is already loaded. It's just not your launch day yet. Set up your author profile. Link your books to your profile. Don't wait till launch day. Amazon needs a few days to verify that you're the author. So do it a couple weeks before the launch. In there, you'll be able to link your blog, your Facebook account, your Twitter account. You'll be able to put 5 videos. Now, if you interviewed somebody and you got their testimonial right after the interview, if you have a little 2-minute testimonial from, if I have it from you, wouldn't that be valuable to me? Don't I want your testimonial up there, that 5 minutes on my Author Central page? You bet I do. So those 2-minute interviews where somebody said, I loved doing this interview, Mary, I really look forward to your book. Very powerful stuff. Along that line, number 5, remind your people that they don't have to write a review. They can leave a video review of your book. Amazon lets them do that. Here's the thing. Well, a couple things. Let me stop and step back a second. Your name goes in the title of every video. If your name isn't in the title of the video, it is not recognized by Amazon, Google, or YouTube as you. It's the algorithm, it's the puzzle. So make sure you're using their puzzle to your benefit. Your name goes in the title of every video, in the tags, in the description, but in the title, these spaces are what we call title heavy in the algorithm. Everything counts. It's a puzzle. Everything gets a percentage in 100% of what matters, but the title matters 40%. So make sure, even in your book titles, I try and put in my book title, by Mary Agnes. My name is hard to spell, but even Mary Agnes is sort of unique. So if you can do that, you know, it sounds grandiose, but boy, Tyler Perry, we know his movies. It says Madea by Tyler Perry, a Tyler Perry production. His name is all over everything.
Right.
So let's follow smart advice from leaders to make this work. The final thing is, I just want to talk about the algorithm itself, and that's the puzzle Amazon uses to see which books are most popular on any given day. That puzzle works in many different ways, but the pieces of the puzzle are not what you would think. Buying a book, the sale of a book, matters. It's part of the puzzle. A review of your book matters. It's part of the puzzle. Even someone going to the page to look at your book gets a little point from Amazon. Someone putting the book in their wish list matters on Amazon. What I don't want you to do for the more tech-savvy, marketing-savvy people is don't set up a store where you sell your own book. Even though you'll make a few cents more, literally just a few cents, it then isn't seen as high on Amazon's algorithm. You want to send people just to get the book. Don't have them flow through your store if you know how to do that. The final thing is this. Creating traffic to that page is the most important thing. Having people participate is vitally important. Making a big splash for 3 or 4 days about your book is a solid win, but having an audience created as you're writing the book is the easiest way to do that. So the podcast experience will launch your book better than anything else I've ever seen. And I've been doing it for 8 years, so I have a modicum of authority on this.
I would say so.
And we've launched 10 number one bestsellers on Amazon for clients. So this is just how their algorithm works right now. They haven't changed it in years. It must work for them.
Right. Well, I took copious notes, I will have you know, because my book is going to be published sometime soon. I don't have the publication date yet, but I'm working on my platform and another podcast beyond this one that's going to be part of that platform. So I am taking your advice to heart, I will tell you.
Well, I'm very excited for your book. I know it's going to be awesome. You are an unbelievable interviewer. This is one of the best interviews I ever did. I'm sorry if I was too loquacious in my answers.
No, not at all. Like I said, I like to soak up knowledge like a sponge. It's one of my hobbies.
Well, remember, even if your book is finished and it was just you cover to cover, you can interview experts and create bonuses with podcasts, and they'll still help launch your book.
Oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that. Okay.
You can have 10 bonuses, and, you know, people will want to give you their own material for the bonus, but if you say, you know, I'd really rather do an interview, A, it's in your wheelhouse and your expertise because you have a podcast show, B, you can go back to things you've already interviewed with them, and C, it's really then appropriate to your work and not some random bonus someone gave you. You know, launching bestsellers, I get bonuses. You know, somebody wrote a book on life after death, and we had bonuses on everything from, you know, the map of your hand to the stars in the sky to the more pragmatic. You know, I really want to be careful that an author's work isn't brand busted by the bonuses. So if you interview people and have them be the bonuses and have them joint venture and launch the book, that's a very powerful thing to do.
Good idea. Good idea. I could talk to you all day long, but I want to be fair about your time and about the people who are listening. I know they won't be able to sit and listen to me for 4 hours, much as I would like them to. So, Mary Agnes Antonopoulos, how would you like people to get in touch with you?
Well, my website is really easy. It's maryagnes.com, M-A-R-Y-A-G-N-E-S. And I have a couple of nice bonuses if somebody signs up for my email list. I am not somebody who will harass you by email too often. I am far too busy and disorganized to send out a monthly newsletter. However, I will invite you to participate in book launches. Every quarter I launch a great book. I only take great projects. And I will send you out free classes once in a while on things like podcasting and making social media work. And I don't upsell. I have an agency, so, you know, teaching isn't really where I make my money. It's what I do as service. So if anybody needs to be learning, I always enjoy being teaching.
That is wonderful. And in case you didn't get it, it's a very easy website, maryagnes.com, where Mary Agnes Antonopoulos shares her wisdom. And you can also check out her services if you think that you need them. It's maryagnes.com. And Mary Agnes, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on Act Local Marketing for Small Business today.
Thank you for having me.
And you have been listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business. And remember, we launch I've got launch on my mind because we've been talking about book launches, but we release a new podcast episode every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time so that we can help you take the steps that you need to move your business forward, doing all those things that you are already good at. And the things that you would love to be better at, we have experts come on and teach you exactly what you need to know to get over those hurdles. So until next time, my friends, I would very much like you to take care.
Join Kaylin for more Marketing Madness each week on Act Local Marketing. It will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Act Local Marketing for Small Business goes live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and at actlocalmarketing.com. Have a question for Act Local? Email Kaylin at ask@actlocalmarketing.com. That's ask@actlocalmarketing.com. And she may answer you right on air. Make sure to include your name and business website for a free shout out. Don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about Act Local and leave Kaylin a review at the iTunes store. See you next time on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.